welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hageman Report. It is Wednesday, the 12th day of November, 2025. Boy, I'll tell you, this is going to be a great program. One of my favorite people, one of my favorite guests on the planet is joining me tonight. And, you know, he's a best-selling author of, I don't know, somewhere south of 1,000 books. Just a lot of books. If you know, of course, Paul McGuire, you know that, he is just a brilliant man who's lived, researched, and studied a lot of the things that are, that we've been talking about. And I just want to briefly make a few comments here. And I want to thank everyone, by the way, I want to thank everyone who's joining, who's in the, joining us on Rumble, live on Rumble, also on X. Thank you for, joining us as well. The live broadcast, and please spread the word about this. But this year, you know, it seems like we are in a crescendo of sorts in the struggle, in the war for our cognitive sovereignty. But Paul McGuire has written about this throughout his many works. And I would like to point out the tactics are not new, but the methods are a little bit different. The modes are a little bit different. Of course, what I'm referring to is the lineage back to the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, founded in London in 1946 under a Rockefeller grant, of course. And what we're seeing, what we saw then, or what happened then, these things were born from the British Army's wartime psychological warfare division. And Tavistock pioneered group dynamics, mass persuasion, and deliberate engineering of public opinion. So I'm saying this because there is a war on for your mind right now. And I've spoken about this in last week's episodes or whenever those were. You can look it up on the, on Rumble or at, HagmanPI.com. But again, Paul McGuire has written extensively about how our behavior has been controlled, modeled, and everything that we're seeing right now is, I'm telling you, just nothing new, just changes. They've gone from using pharmaceuticals or pills to using pixels as their choice of weapon, as their choice of method of delivery. And this would explain, I argue this would explain what we're seeing in the conservative media right now with all of this infighting. And a lot of this has to do, I think a lot of this influences, I should say, what we're seeing on the fringe. You know, the fringe of videos you see of people losing their minds and such, because this is an extension, I believe, and a refinement of MK Ultra. Some of the precursor programs, but also the subsequent programs after they were supposedly, you know, shut down, of course. But when you look at the various researchers from Eric Trist and John Rawlings and Rees and Kurt Lewin and others, they crafted models for unfreezing societal norms. And this is what we're seeing today, and injecting controlled stress. And that's really important. Consider this, and I'm going to bring Paul on here very shortly, but consider this. Today's battlefield, as I've mentioned before, is the human mind. It's our attention span, and that's measured in milliseconds and monetized by algorithms. The average American right now checks, and I've verified this, they check a smartphone about 352 times per day on average. And each one of those checks and swipes, I'm telling you right now, you linger a little bit too long. Look, they are mapping out your mind. They're watching your blink rate, your eyes, and so on. Okay. The camera is doing that into these software programs. So again, from pills, from pharmaceuticals, you know, from pills and LSD back in the day to pixels today. That's where we're at. And I've a few last comments here. The narratives that everyone is, that we see playing out on social media, the different sides of infighting have been weaponized, you know, state and non-state actors. They wage narrative warfare at scale. And, You can take a look at, for example, Russia's Internet Research Agency 2.0. That was rebranded as Prism Collective. They operate from, you know what? I'm not going to get too deep into that. You can look at that on your own. But if, for example, in that Russian operation, just a single operation in February this past, February flooded X with mutually exclusive claims about the Midwest water contamination crisis. And they split the narrative. One thread blamed Chinese saboteurs, another domestic militias, and actually a third insisted the water was just absolutely fine. The engagement metrics, when this was revealed and studied, soared while trust in local government cratered. And that is something that we have to keep our eyes on. Now, that's not to say bad things aren't happening, but look at what is diverting our attention. And again, this is in preparation for Paul McGuire, because he's the master at this, at talking about this. Because what we're seeing play out right now is, and I've talked about this before, this psychological operations on multiple levels. And really, there's the way I remember it is ATFE, okay? Alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives. The acronym for authority being number one, where, you know, a person of trust, you would see the person holding some authority and trust shifting or positing their tones or positions to support a specific narrative. The tribal aspect of things, messages that polarize opinions, they create a stark them versus us or us versus them. They exploit tribal instincts. So the ATF would be focus. The focus of our focus is diverted on purpose. Our attention is hijacked with repetition. And folks understand this repetition. And there's always and often a use of shocking visuals and fear-inducing scenarios. So there's four now in terms of four characteristics of a PSYOP. And the fifth for explosives would be emotion. Folks, anytime you see something, any communication that triggers very strong emotions like fear or outrage, rage bait. Okay, think about that. Or even even hope that doesn't really make sense without any clear or verifiable evidence. They are the emotional responses suppress critical thinking. I mentioned that before. Emotional responses suppress critical thinking. So analyze everything that's presented to you. Understand that if you feel like you're being played, you are. And here we are. So all of that to say, Paul McGuire has written about this, about the former experiments in all of his books, many of his books, I should say. And folks, please go to his website. It'll be linked in the program description box down below. But do so and take advantage of his intellectual prowess. Man, I'm telling you what, it's second to none. So with me is Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.net. Paul, thank you so very much. God bless you, and thanks for joining me.
God bless you, Doug, and great hearing your voice again, and brilliant summary analysis of probably one of the most important topics you could cover. And as you were talking, I was reflecting on a bunch of stuff. One is we hopefully will get into tonight, because we talked about it before the show went live to your audience. And that is, there's all this turmoil among right-wing Christian conservatives, Republicans, whatever demographic you want to call it. But what a lot of people don't know, and they should know for crying out loud, they should know. This is something that should be under people's belt. I mean, you can't be an expert in everything, but you sure as heck can get a bunch of bullet points and understand, like you do and much, much more, some key concepts in this PSYOPs. Because what we're looking at with this whole everything with the assassination or whatever, however you want to describe it, of Charlie Kirk, his mysterious wife, unless you're on hallucinogenics, I mean, the girl changes her weight, her shape, her height, and everything else, for crying out loud, on a daily basis. So who is she? And I'm not trying to smear a woman who recently lost her husband. I'm not indifferent to that. But at the same time, as you said, we all have brains. We all have perception. We have to use it. So who is Erica Kirk. And let's just look at one thing in terms of psyops, psychological operations. This entire planet has been run now by psyops, and you mentioned perhaps the father, the institutional father of psyops, which would be I just slipped my mind, Institute.
Tavistock Institute.
Tavistock Institute.
Yeah.
And so the Tavistock Institute, Sigmund Freud, the first director, they began the methodology, the drugs coming right out of World War II. They were operating before World War II even ended. And they were the world's, and still are, the world's premier think tank. So what people have to do is they have to start conceptualizing and thinking things through on a little bit deeper level. Again, you don't have to be an expert in everything, but you know, when you see Erica Kirk, and I'm not making a judgment, this is just an observation. Erica Kirk wearing very skin tight leather pants, which is very common. I'm not making an approval or disapproval. It's common among women of a variety of ages, especially in Los Angeles, where I am, for crying out loud. So skin tight leather pants, imitation leather, but we all know what I'm talking about. And so she's hugging, I believe it's Vance, Vice President Vance, correct?
Yes, and that got a lot of play. And after you address this, I do have a couple of behavioral cues I'd like to just address. But go ahead, continue, please.
Okay, so everybody, or most everybody, saw the picture of Erica Kirk, you know, hugging J.D. Vance for an extended period of time. But the thing that was ironic about it was that she was wearing these skin tight leather, you know, pants that you would wear if you were out in a nightclub or trying to be sexy and be picked up or whatever. So again, I'm not there to judge the leather pants, but there's no way you can't not notice that. So the statement I want to make, and we'll probably go back to it a bunch of times, is this: whether it's the assassination of Charlie Kirk, who shot him, the kid on the building, you know, not that far away, his neighborhood, the whole mystery around Charlie Kirk's assassin, the strange behavior of Kirk's staff, other people who appeared to be special ops or ex-special ops all around the operation, strange things happening within the assassination, timing, people walking that are supposed to be dead, blood that looks like imitation blood, and to people who are experts in this field, the so-called blood was not real blood at all. It was some kind of artificial substance. And then apparently out of nowhere, there's a bullet that doesn't follow its normal trajectory that it should follow. And then, you know, the whole series of excuses with Kirk's murder, it reminded me of President John F. Kennedy's assassination when I was a little boy. And my father brought up this comment because he was in the service and he was ready to go into a foreign nation and invade it. And he remarked to me just off the top of his head. He said to me, because I was watching it live on TV, the assassination, he said to me, there's no way that Lee Harvey Oswald could have killed President Kennedy with that gun from that distance with one shot. I mean, even if you were the best, which Lee Harvey Oswald was certainly not, even if you were the best of assassins, trained assassins and shooters, you couldn't have made that shot. So it was obvious that there was some kind of other gunman. One, two, a second gunman. And so all the rhetoric that I hear and you hear and your audience has heard in the weeks that has passed by the Charlie Kirk assassination, you know, it's like hearing an autoplay, a repeat of what happened during the Kennedy assassination. It appears to be the same game plan being used over and over again. So what I'm going to say right now in terms of a foundational statement is simply this, because I've been thinking about this. I've been writing about it, thinking about it, going on your show about, I mean, I don't know, how many decades have I been on your show? I can't even remember.
Oh, at least two, Paul.
At least two, right. Yeah. And we were talking about this kind of stuff decades ago. And we were reaching huge numbers of people because this was before the rigging, the electronic bots, the algorithms, oh, yeah, AI control, AI censorship. And we were talking about these subjects and we were considered very controversial for talking about it. But guess what? Hollywood was listening to your shows and these topics big time. A lot of people that worked in the Hollywood industry that went to my church or who I met out here in California would talk to me about the fact that there were a lot of people in Hollywood listening to your show and me being interviewed and your other guests decades ago. And then at that same time period, there were all these Hollywood hit TV shows, episodic TV shows, feature films, and so on and so forth, that were flooded with the ideas and concepts of PSYOPs, Manchurian candidates, MK Ultra, manufactured assassins. All of a sudden, that was previously a taboo subject. It was previously totally written off as a conspiracy theory, which, of course, as you know, and most of your audience knows, that the actual term conspiracy theory was developed by the CIA as a psyop to discredit anybody who wants to explore truth on a deeper level. So all of a sudden, all these, the Bourne Identity, there must be hundreds. At the present moment, there must be hundreds of past produced, airing now and coming soon, feature films and episodic TV shows that deal with Stranger Things, that deal with the themes of PSYOPs, Manchurian candidates, mind programming, MK Ultra, and everything else. In my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, I go into a deep dive on the music business, especially hip hop and rap. The biggest artists in the world that every white kid listens to, the biggest selling albums, and they have lyrics which not only praise Satan, but go into detail about PSYOPs, Manchurian candidates, Charles Manson of the Manson family. And all of these things are interconnected. And so the thought has been, it's been formalizing in my mind, especially over the last 4 weeks, like percolating in my mind. And that's the thought that not only do we live in what Aldous Huxley called in his book, Brave New World, we live in a scientific dictatorship, which means the dictatorship or totalitarian state that we live in is not one that is features guns and barbed wire so much, but its bigger emphasis is a disguised or veiled or masked totalitarian regime that is run by the highest level PSYOPs, mind control, social engineering, all working at a very, very high level. It's working at such a high level, most people have trouble believing that the technology and the sciences of PSYOPs can actually deliver what you and I would suggest that they are delivering. And so our society right now, and society on a global level, has essentially become a theater for an ongoing PSYOPs where the moods of the people, the political votes, the economics, every facet of society is being energized by or driven by think tanks like the RAND Institute and other institutes, think tanks, psychological warfare departments. All of these things are contributing to this dark masterpiece, this ungodly mosaic of an all-pervasive PSYOPs, in which people's minds are being taken over, whether they realize it or not. And you mentioned something that was very interesting. You were talking about people laughing and being positive, and a good PSYOP can do that. A good PSYOP can change. A good PSYOP can alter your state of consciousness either in a negative direction or a positive direction. And as you know, when we're sitting in front of a TV and people get that daze in their eyes when they watch too much TV or they're glued to what's called the boob tube, that's because television was designed and engineered to broadcast in the alpha wave frequency, which begins approximately at 10 hertz. And the alpha wave frequency, so every time we're watching television or every time we're watching an extended period of time watching our cell phones or whatever, our laptop, we're receiving the video content and we're receiving the audio content in a steady stream of an electromagnetic frequency known as alpha waves in the 10 hertz range. Now, what happens to a human being who's bathed in a 10 hertz message is that you become slightly euphoric, your anxiety goes down, you have a kind of artificial synthetic happiness.
The dopamine rush.
Your dopamine rush, a serotonin rush.
Yes.
And you're kind of up. But in the good sense, the 10 hertz alpha wave frequency can potentially enhance your learning ability, accelerate your learning ability, help kids that have ADD or ADHD, whether you believe in it or not. It theoretically can cause learning them to focus better if they're being bathed in a 10 hertz environment. Now, so 10 hertz, that's the main characteristic of 10 hertz. It can be positive or negative. You can retain information, you can learn stuff at a far accelerated rate. But the dark side of 10 hertz and the dark side of what 10 hertz does to the human personality and does to people and their children, at the same time it makes you buoyant and optimistic and could potentially increase your learning curve, simultaneously in the dark side of the 10 hertz microwave frequency is this. 10 hertz frequency emanating out of TV, cell phone, or whatever, you lose your ability to discern. You lose your ability to analyze. You lose your abilities to scrutinize. You lose that all important ability to be cynical, because a certain amount of cynicism is essential. It's essential that your perception is operating at a higher level than simply being in an alpha wave buoyant state. So the problem with the 10 hertz is, and this is why the social engineers promoted television to be sold by the millions of TV sets and broadcast in 10 hertz, is because 10 hertz dulls the populations and dulls people's individual ability to see inconsistencies, to critically think. So let's say hypothetically, you're being presented every day with a pro-communist, pro-socialist, pro-Marxist type of message through the media or through the school system or whatever. And on top of that, you're being bathed in 10 hertz alpha wave frequency, plus you're receiving all this rhetoric that's selling communism, Marxism, socialism to you or your child. Okay, the percentage rate of you potentially being likely to convert to a Marxist, socialist, communist ideology, the possibility of you being flipped into a communist, Marxist, and socialist goes up substantially as you lose your perception discernment modalities. So that's the downside of 10 hertz. The 10 hertz frequency is an excellent frequency to use if you want to brainwash the masses. And so that's why, I mean, this is a very real phenomenon. That's why when you walk in a room and you see an adult or a child and they've been sitting there in bed or sitting on the couch or wherever, and they've been glued to television watching whatever it is, sports, news, whatever it is, but they have been simultaneously have been bathed in a 10 hertz frequency, and then they have that spaced out look, that you know, like totally out of it look, like glued to the boob tube look. That's an actual scientific physiological response to the human brain, body, soul, and spirit being saturated with an electromagnetic frequency of 10 hertz.
Interesting. Yeah. That's okay. And I don't believe the majority of people understand the bombardment and the becoming cognitively pliable, I guess, the result of that. Yeah, you know, and if I can self-promote a little bit here, Paul, I do have a column. My column in this issue, the year-end issue of Wisconsin Christian News, addresses this. And not to the granular level as you have here on this platform, as well as some of your books. But, you had mentioned if I can back up a little bit here, you had mentioned the assassination, the murder of Charlie Kirk. Okay. Now, here's my focus. Okay. So if you take the events of, if you take the controversy over behavior at that, by individuals there. Okay. And just put that aside for a moment and look at the aftermath, because this was like JFK, like MLK, JFK, not so much, but MLK and some other spiritual and lesser political figures, the assassinations that occurred back in the '60s. This was a national trauma, much like 9/11. And it was horrific and plastered everywhere. So just put the events, put whatever weird issues, put those aside for a moment. I want to capture, or I'd like your attention to be focused elsewhere. The attention, I think, in all of those events, but now subsequent to the advent of social media and really this fight that we are in for our very souls, for our lives, for the future of our country, for our families, focus on the consequence of that national trauma and what is happening right now. For example, with the murder of Shirley Kirk. On social media, what's happening? You've got two camps forming and they're viciously attacking one another. It's the, and again, I'm not taking sides. Nor do I want anyone to take sides. Just look at look at the landscape right now. You've got this amazing, kind of frightening rift, split between the one side of conservatives or whatever that is suddenly turned extremely anti-Semitic. Mm. Okay. Now, look, I'm just calling like it. I'm calling balls and strikes. I'm calling it like I see it. So whether you agree with that or not, it doesn't matter. I'm just addressing what I see. So you got one side that is addressing or actually indicting the Jews and everything regarding Israel. Okay. Using that national trauma as the precipitous event to call that out. The other side. And again, I'm not asking you to agree or disagree with any position. Just look. And the other side now, of course, is the, what would you call it? Pro-Israel? I don't know, but there's a fight going on and it's vicious and it's horrific. What happened, of course, we'll pick any event. Trace this whole thing back to the early 20s or post World War I, for example. The Tavistock is, Paul's written much about. The official objective of Tavistock was to treat people with, World War I soldiers, with shell shock. Now it's known as PTSD. And I would argue that the national trauma from highly visible and macabre events like that, induce that kind of cognitive, I don't want to say impairment, but it's a really a shock. It's like a shell shock to your brain. Mm-hmm. And what the studies have found is trauma does not merely break people, but makes them mentally suggestible. Mm-hmm. And each time they've begun to use trauma as a means of control over people. They ran war psychology or psyops on civilians and learned that they can control large segments of the population by that manipulation. Now, Toss, what you were talking about in there, about the frequency, frequency, what would you say, modulation or the frequency, the frequency of the,
I would say frequency, because everything is a resonant frequency.
Yes.
You're a frequency. Everything in the physical world, it comes from a frequency. So frequency.
Exactly. So all of this combined, in my view, Paul, what we're watching here is this, I don't want to say amazing, is a really concerning to control a battle over what you pay attention to. And they want you to take certain sides, and they want this chaos, because chaos feed, I mean, trauma or people. Yeah. Chaos is caused by the trauma. And of course, the chaos will, essentially make your mind more pliable. And don't forget what I said about emotions. You know, emotions, when you respond by emotionally respond, it does impair your cognitive function. So understand what we're seeing here. And this is all by design. Again, I'm not talking about the issue. I'm not talking about the event. I'm talking about the consequence of the event. And I think that's at a much deeper level that we have to understand when we're being played and how we're being played. And then we have to ask, okay, if that's taking place, then who benefits?
Yes.
With that, I turn it over to you, sir.
I'm really glad you took that on, because I was, you know, like playing around in my head regarding the things that you just dealt with. And I was asking myself, okay, if I'm asked that question, how am I going to answer it? And I know how I'm going to answer it. But at the same time, you did a phenomenal job in handling it and not getting stuck in the quagmire or the swamp of diversion. Because people will intentionally or unintentionally completely misread what you just said. But I thought you were very eloquent and very well on target. So I'm not going to repeat what you said, because it's a great foundation. It doesn't need to be said. I don't need to say it. You said it very well. So having taken off from what you just said, you're right. You're hitting the nail right on the mega target, I think, right now in the great spiritual war for mankind and the great spiritual war for America.
And I learned from the best. I got to plug your books. Paul McGuire, okay, folks, go to his website. I'm sorry, paulmcguire.us. I said net before, my bad. paulmcguire.us. And grab his books. I mean, each one of them, folks, you can learn so much about this very topic, because he has lived this, he has learned this, and he now teaches it and writes about it. So please do that, paulmcguire.us. But Paul, again, I give a lot of most of the credit to you for waking me up to this. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you very much, because as you know, it's very frustrating. On one hand, I'm extremely glad, like I'm sure you are, and some of your guests who are also very eloquent. On one hand, I'm very glad that we were able to plant seeds of thought, seeds of consciousness change, seeds of truth, a biblical worldview. We were able to plant it into the hearts and minds of millions of people, because we began decades ago, before the rigging and the censorship bots had been fully tweaked up. Now it's very difficult. So what people need to understand is the psyops has become more sophisticated. So simultaneously, we need to step up our game, and we need to be not, we can't be just playing our game at the level we played it, let's say 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or even further than that. We can't play at that level. We have to, in order to win, we have to step up our game. Now, having said that, You put your finger on the, I believe, this one of the biggest spiritual conflicts raging on planet Earth right now. And again, I'm not here to take a side or dodge taking it aside. I'm not afraid of saying what I think, and you're not afraid of saying what you think. But I don't want to get bogged down in those very important questions, because to tell you the truth, it would take weeks of shows. I mean, I could talk at length about the Khazarian. People think, like they ask me a question, like I never heard the stupid, no, they're not stupid, but the questions I've heard a million times. I've read about the Khazarian mafia, and I can go into detail about the entire thing of the Jews and the whole thing. It's not like I've never heard this before. Of course I've heard it, because this is my area of expertise. But having said that, let me just throw a couple of things out. I have been in environments, and no, I'm not a secret agent of Mossad, and I'm not getting a stinking check from Mossad. I wish I would. Now, not really. I don't think they pay me enough, and I already thought it through. I don't want the money, because I couldn't afford to pay for the protection if I accepted the money. I'd be a walking target. But let me just say something about Mossad. I've been in some meetings where Mossad was there, because in these meetings, these were high-level private meetings with me and like two other people, where I was having about an hour conversation where I could ask anything essentially I wanted to the Prime Minister of Israel in a private meeting. And Mossad was all around the room in the interior of the meeting, and they were all around the room in the hotel area. So there must have been a huge number of Mossad agents. And these guys, I mean, you could just walk into the room, and I'd been in other places with them too. And, you know, yeah, the top U.S., you know, like special ops people, Navy SEALs, they're cutting edge also. But Mossad is very cutting edge. And they just have a presence about them. And they treat, I mean, you expect that your name is on a list and you'll be treated courteously, you know, because the Prime Minister of Israel wouldn't invite you to speak with him privately unless you were cleared, so to speak. Well, despite the fact that you're cleared, Mossad treats you as if you just came out of Gitmo or something. I mean, it's a hardcore look over. Sometimes some padding on the area that they think that it could be possibly a gun. And you are checked out. I mean, you are checked. It's not like the security at the airport, which is like insane. You are really checked out. So Mossad, whether you like it or not, whether you think there's a Zionist plot or not, these are all important questions. But the other important question to ask is Mossad is not a ship of fools. They play the spy game with a vengeance, and they don't usually get caught. And this is the thing that bothers me. All these Christians are being played, and the media is being played, and people all over the place are being played, and they're forgetting a major fact. Whether you like them or not, Mossad is very, very good at what they do, and they don't get caught. In other words, if... hypothetically, I hear these allegations that Charlie Kirk was shot by Mossad, or et cetera, et cetera. Well, the only problem I have a couple of problems with that, purely on the basis of logistics and motivation and benefit and payoff. I don't see a payoff for Israel or Mossad for taking out Charlie Kirk. I don't see a tangible payoff. I don't see a tangible payoff for Mossad. So then the other thing is, again, Mossad is not stupid. Mossad would not be accidentally videotaped by cell phones all over the place. It would not have allowed a person to get in there close enough to shoot Charlie Kirk. And then, assuming that they were guilty, which I think is highly questionable, but making that leap of faith suggestion, they don't get caught. I mean, occasionally they get caught, but they don't get caught. And if they do get caught, they're leaking the photographs, the videos, and the information. Let's take the
themselves. Episode. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So people are asking, like, and this is like, what are under the Boy Scouts? What the? I was not in the Boy Scouts, and what was the other thing under the Boy Scouts? Whatever it was.
No, always be prepared. I mean, what do you mean?
The little kid group as a, never
oh,
mind.
Oh,
let's not get hung up on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Anyway, Boy Scouts, for crying out loud, whatever they're called.
Cub Scouts.
Yeah, the Cub Scouts. Mossad or American Special Ops or Navy SEALs are not Cub Scouts, for crying out loud. So all these people are looking at TV saying, oh, I see it. I'm discovering it. Oh, I see he's got a gun, or I see the puff in his shirt right there, and I see the angle of his fall, or I see his close associate. It looks like he's laughing and walking as he's going to some kind of vehicle behind the event. And of course, I see I see the trap door. Oh, and yeah, the kid was too stupid to hide his gun. He just happened to leave it in plain sight in the bushes somewhere near where the assassination took place. Do you think that if American Special Ops or American Navy SEALs or its equivalent, Green Berets or whatever, or Mossad, I mean, I'm talking about the high-level, cream-of-the-crop people like Mossad or Navy SEALs or whatever. Do you think that they're going to screw up and leak and allow you? Do you think the videos you're seeing and the pictures you're seeing and the quotes you're seeing and the other videos you're seeing, that was a mistake? They got caught. Nobody was looking. And Susie from Honolulu, she got out her cell phone and she got all the footage, and you're seeing the real truth. Bull. You're seeing that was hand-delivered to you. They know what demographic you're in, and whatever little game they have, and it could be any number of people, that the images you see, you were supposed to see.
That's the point.
The sound you saw, it was intended for you to see. The tight leather pants, I didn't discover it by accident because I'm some brainiac. It was planned. Where did I see it? It was most likely I saw it on Rumble. The intelligence agencies know who watches Rumble. They plant stories, they plant narratives, and that's the game of psyops.
Indeed. And to your point about the hug, I'll tell you what, I don't think I've ever gotten as many links to a video than I did to that one. And I'll just say this, okay? I've taken and I'm certified in certain levels of that discipline of behavioral what people would know as behavioral profile. Yes, but I'm certainly not an expert, and I certainly cannot teach it with any degree of authority. But I know the basics, but more importantly, I know the experts. I know the people who do this every single day. And when they evaluated that now infamous hug, there were a few things that, a little concerning here. And it was little things that folks, for example, okay, just real quick, the way the widow placed her hand on Vice President Vance's head, for example, if you saw that, okay, just for example, using again, I don't want to get too deep in this, but generally speaking, when someone uses the palm of their hand to touch someone else, that's more intimate than. That's a pretty intimate thing, okay? The palm of the hand. Think about a handshake, for example. It's skin-to-skin contact or direct contact, but the palm of the hand has got a lot of interesting connotations to it. But here's the issue. You cannot, in terms of the behavioral profiling or the behavioral analysis of that video clip, you cannot and must not, because a little knowledge is a scary thing. Right. You cannot make any determination. You can say, you know what, maybe we should look at that a little bit, or this a little bit more, or that a little bit more. But you cannot make any specific determinations. A little tells here and there, but nothing definitive. But it's the number one, it's context, and it's the change in behavior, and it's the aggregate of behavioral cues that will tell the tale. So,
yeah, and that's a very important point that you made.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, but the combined total, and I'm always in the habit of translating my words and your words, because I realize we're speaking to many audiences simultaneously. So when you say aggregate, many people know exactly what you're saying. But I always would add, you know, the group, the combined numbers of people that have the ability to read things and perceive things. I don't want to mutilate what you said better than I'm remembering.
Well, you know, it's but and again, that's not a problem. But what I'm looking at, Paul, to address the larger issue here, is okay. America experienced a trauma, obviously, and by witnessing the murder, and again, this was a murder. How it is presented, a murder of a father, of a husband, and of course, a very valuable influencer, shall we say, or a person who is responsible for going into the very venues that produce this anti-Christian, anti-norm ideology. This is a high value target because he was changing minds.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, but that trauma, it's the exploitation of that by groups or by ideologically driven groups that should be the focus, right now, because by unraveling that, then you can work backwards and identify the players, so to speak. Because, look, the bottom line here, we have bore witness, and Paul writes about the operation, the MK Ultra, of course, Operation Mockingbird, the entire plot, the entire method, all of this. He's written about this and talked about this. So using Paul's lessons, we can see now how we are being manipulated. Instead of, I always say this, if you don't like the answers to the questions you're asking, change the premise of your question. Okay, so we're asking the wrong questions. And I think that's a problem, not just in that one issue, but in a lot of issues, because all of this is causing chaos and hijacking our attention. And it's we're acting on emotion, not facts. One last example. There's this big rift now, you know. The Blaze came out with, Steve Baker came out with this article about the J6 pipe bomber, the identity. And then, fine. But then there's another camp just attacking that one. Do you think, folks, this is by accident? Right. And there are people jumping in with both feet on one side or the other. Stop it. Stop it. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. You know, I have thought what you're saying privately at length, and basically we would probably agree substantially, and I'm bothered by it, and I see it as a massive place of vulnerability and a place where those that are Christians and those that want to see America return to its original constitutional and Judeo-Christian values, that they're being played, and they're being, and you just talked about it, but the way they're being played is they're vulnerable because they don't have the knowledge that they should have regarding psyops, regarding psychological operations and the associated things, because they don't understand the basics of that, and they should understand at least the basics of it. They are suckers. I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I mean it that they're, you know, like when a con man or a criminal sees a mark that's easy to fool or deceive. Unfortunately, because Christians have rejected acquiring knowledge in this area, and that, and I'm going to lay it really at the main place of blame. I'm not picking on all pastors. There are many good pastors, many good churches, many good individual Christians. But having said that, this goes back 90 years. When are we going to wake up? You know, I believe we repent so that revival and a great awakening can come. Well, what does repent mean? It means repenting of the sins that are most important to God. Now, I don't believe, and I'm not endorsing these things, but like cigarette smoking, having a dirty thought, I'm not promoting these things. I'm not justifying them, for crying out loud. But in God's hierarchy of things, your dirty thought that's just in your head, or you smoking a cigarette or whatever, if you contrast that with the lives that are being flushed down the toilet, the kids, the young people that are dying and being swallowed up into chaos in all forms, there's like a death machine going full blast in our culture, and millions of young people and young adults are suiciding. They're falling apart because of despair. They look at the future. They don't see any hope at all. And much of this, if not all of it, is being seeded into their consciousness through a very sophisticated psyop, psychological operations that's highly scientific. The people that are running our nation secretly, the people that are running this world secretly, are highly sophisticated in knowing, understanding, and practicing what was originally an occult art form known as psychological operations, which goes back thousands of years ago. It goes back to ancient Muslim nations and the sale and usage of hashish, which is a term that phonetically is related to the term assassin. And the idea was that these trained assassins would first alter their states of consciousness by smoking tons of hashish. And then in that altered state of consciousness, they would develop occultic, like superhuman powers to kill or assassinate their target enemy. So again, with Charlie Kirk, this is part of a program. And so in order not to be taken down, in order to survive, what does God want from his people at this time in history? Well, above all, God says, occupy until I come. In other words, rule over the land in a temporal sense, spiritually, and that your rulership has practical applications economically, politically, sociologically, and in every other area. We're supposed to be ruling over, not in a perverted militant sense, but as stewards, as the Bible uses the concept, as servant kings. So we exercise the kingship or lordship of Christ in the culture. But simultaneously, even though we're functioning as servant kings, we have the authority and power of a king given to us by Christ. But simultaneously, we function with the heart of a servant. So we're here not to be served. We're not here to exploit or rule over or lord it over people. We're here like Christ was here to serve. So we're servant kings. Our ultimate power to turn over the power of the devil. And what you're talking about can be interpreted or understood on a multi-level system. So on one hand, on the psychological, biological level, we have to understand what psyops and psychological operations can do to control people. On an occultic or spiritual level, we have to understand what the implementation of psyops can do in terms of controlling a person via the harnessing of everything from frequencies to occult powers to scalar technology and to understanding. Without going off the deep end and barking at the moon in the middle of the night, we have to understand that we're battling a global adversary. When you read the writings of the global adversary, the people behind the United Nations, the Huxleys, going all the way back to Sir Francis Bacon, who was Queen Elizabeth's highest level advisor in all matters, and Sir Francis Bacon, who conceived and conceptualized as America being the head of the New World Order, as America being the revival of the ancient city, of the ancient super civilization Atlantis. Sir Francis Bacon learned how to, with Sir John Dee, they learned how to speak fluently in the Enochian angelic language, so they could communicate to the Enochian spirit guides. They understood the Enochian spirit guides, and they could speak the Enochian spirit guide language. Now, the Enochian spirit guides were the fallen angels that are discussed in the Book of Enoch and referenced in the Book of Jude. So the Book of Jude gives us permission to look at the Book of Enoch when the Book of Enoch talks about the Enochian angels. So Sir Francis Bacon, who was also the head of British intelligence before British intelligence was officially founded, he received his information from a higher level source, the demonic realm. Sir Francis Bacon, who was the father of the modern scientific method. Think about this. The father of the modern scientific method. So the whole basis for saying, you know, science has to be proven. It can't just be a theory. You have to have sufficient evidence. That's the scientific method. Sir Francis Bacon was the father of the scientific method. The whole thing with Sherlock Holmes and the solving of crimes scientifically flows out of the life of Sir Francis Bacon. And Sir Francis Bacon could speak in the Enochian language, and he could listen in the Enochian language. And when he did that, the Enochian angels told Sir Francis Bacon to communicate to the heads of the British Empire, and this was in the 1600s. Bacon was assigned by the Enochian angels the responsibility of communicating to the heads of the British Empire that they were supposed to invade America, conquer America, and colonize America, and solidify the deal. So think of this, the most powerful military economic empire on planet Earth, the British Empire, was allowing itself to be led economically and militarily by the information or data given to it by the Enochian angels via Sir Francis Bacon. Then Sir Francis Bacon had face-to-face meetings with Queen Elizabeth, who agreed to go along with it. And yes, the heads of the British Empire decided to initiate an open war against America, which it still wages, by the way. We are, in many respects, still secretly a colony of Great Britain. And so what does it mean to be a colony of Great Britain? Well, the institutes that you were talking about, Doug, were financed by the British billionaires, the British trillionaires. They created that think tank institute you referred to, which got its original scientific formulations on mind control, yes, from treating soldiers that were suffering from shock in war. But they also learned the formulas that you alluded to, such as pain, drugs, hypnosis. Pain is chaos. Pain is psychological suffering. Pain is when your brains are emotionally blown out. That's pain. Pain equals chaos. So the formula, the short formula for MKUltra, the short formula for controlling somebody's mind, is you put them through the threefold process of pain / chaos, drugs, like pharmaceutical drugs, illegal drugs, psychedelics, ayahuasca, you name it, whatever psychedelic or whatever mind-altering substance you want to use. That's part of the pain, drugs, LSD, pain, drug, hypnosis equation. And then finally, the last component of MKUltra mass mind control is hypnosis. The elite learned thousands of years ago that you can control a person's mind by bypassing their rational conscious mind, by going through the portal into their subconscious mind by using drugs, chaos, pain, repetition, as you referred to, and other techniques. You can dominate and control a person's mind. You can turn them into a sex slave spy. You can turn them into a Manchurian candidate assassin spy. You can raise up a world leader spy through MKUltra. You can create the ideal political candidate who appears to perform, per emphasis on the word perform, perfectly when they go on national television. When I saw Barack Obama give his first major speech, I was in New York at my mother's house with people from our family, my mother and her husband, who was alive at the time, are super liberals. Okay, so I had to watch my P's and Q's, because easily it could have erupted into a verbal chaos, because part of my family are Christians and saved. Thank God the Lord used me in that way. But the other part of my family are militant secular humanists. And so I was polite, but I had to acknowledge, as I was watching Barack Obama perform his speech, he in a very studied, rehearsed, Kennedy-esque, he came off in his speech like John F. Kennedy. The way he performed was transcendent of a normal political presentation. It was obvious that he was trained to give his opening speech before the nation. He was trained by the highest level social engineers, mind control experts, propaganda experts, because he became, in a sense, a god. He became a god. He became a deliverer to millions of people in America. They were swooning, and they were rapturous under the influence of his spellbinding delivery. And when you have a spellbinding delivery, you better believe that a spellbinding delivery is the product of merging occultic magical rituals with scientific mind control and technological scientific mind control. So we saw a bunch of candidates like Clinton. He had the same ability, that charm, that supernatural charm he had, that hypnotic ability to charm. Well, that just didn't come from nowhere. These guys were trained. You probably remember, I remember like it was yesterday, when that famous article, expose, came out in WorldNet Daily many, many decades ago. And in the article, this guy is visiting the home, I believe it was, of Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground.
Yes.
And it turns out that Bill Ayers' home is a very, very upper class home in a very, very upper class neighborhood in
Chicago.
Chicago, in America, in an elite neighborhood. Bill Ayers, the head of the Weather Underground, his father was the head of this power company. So his father was a super millionaire and filthy, filthy rich. So, this was the account that the narrative that I'm sharing with you that you know about. It came from a postal office worker, a postal delivery man. He was walking up to deliver the mail to Bill Ayers' father. And then he describes how this handsome, athletic, young, a relatively young African-American male is striding up near the house or coming towards the doorway of the house of Bill Ayers' father. And he has a big euphoric smile on his face. And he just blurts out as he's looking to the postal delivery man, he just blurts out, it's not verbatim, but it's pretty close to what Barack Obama said to the post office man. He said something with a giant smile, a euphoric giant smile on his face. He said, "I'm going to be the next president of the United States of America." Which was a very odd thing for Barack Obama to say.
Unprompted. Yeah, it was the whole thing was unprompted. And about Obama, I don't mean to disturb your stream of thought there.
You should do what you want to do.
Well, no, I mean this is fabulous. But what you said about his first national appearance, I think people need to understand, this was hard for me to really wrap my mind around, but the very people who would be considered some of the top behavioral profilers in the nation, as a forensic science, okay, are also, some of them also teach the very things that we saw Obama display. You have the Obama being a construct of the intelligence agencies, plural, international, I should add, but and the legend created, of course, by the CIA. But in his delivery of a speech, the cadence, his verbal cadence, his how he moved, his movements, the use of illustrators, his hands, where he pointed, how he looked, where he looked, his eyes, what did, I mean, that was all scripted. And who better to teach a person that process, that convincing process, than someone who analyzes it very effectively? And that's the thing that so you can take that model, and that's happening today with others as well. They're creating, as you said, Manchurian candidates for different reasons. With Obama, I mean, so all of this is on full display, and people really have to, I believe people have to understand that. And one more thing, and you can continue with Obama. I covered that. The one other thing that I think might drive the points that you're making home. You know how we almost make fun of of the purple haired, nose ring wearing people who get on social media and they video their psychological breakdowns, right? You see this. And a lot of times they're political in nature. And of course, it's termed Trump derangement syndrome. Okay. And again, I'm asking you just to look at the various videos. Okay, so there's that. And of course, there are other things like the transgender agenda. You see some of the most outrageously attired people, or the most horrific appearance, the super uber fat, the uber slobby, the people dressed up in like furries, all of these aberrations. Okay. Again, you know, you have memes developed from that. And the majority of people say, you know what? It's Trump derangement syndrome, or they'll say, well, you can see liberalism is a mental disorder. Now, some of those memes are humorous, but I contend that all are superficial and very dangerous because they're dismissive of the behavioral modification and mental programming by the global power structure. The very same that created Obama is this very same structure that created these cretins pushing this demonic ideology. And with that, I yield back to you, sir.
Doug, you're right on. I mean, it's really interesting that we, in a sense, by God's divine grace, synergized into flowing with this topic, because this wasn't necessarily the first level of topics I was going to discuss, but I have been obsessed about this, what you're talking about, for quite a long time. And in recent months, especially since the whole Kirk thing, I've been really, really replaying, reanalyzing, rethinking, and diving as deep as I could into this entire area of truthful research. And, you know, I rehearse. I don't rehearse stuff in the sense that I'm performing. I'm not a phony. I'm real. So I don't really edit what you get, what you see, what comes out of my mouth is essentially unedited and it flows, because that's where truth and power come from. But having said that, I do privately, you know, I go through mental exercises, like I will challenge myself, Paul, what you're going to say, a lot of people aren't going to get or whatever, and you need to present it more concisely, or you need to present it in a simpler manner. And I go through all these like internal gymnastics. So, and it could be a year before I use them, but they're stuck there somewhere in my subconscious. Now, back to what you said, because it's so important. What I really wanted to say, and you helped me kind of like release it, if you will, what I wanted to say and what was going on in my mind before today was wanting to communicate to as many people as I could, especially those that would be called God's children, those people who know God personally, those people who are on their way to knowing God and haven't figured it out yet, those people that are genuinely conservative or genuinely, they are moving in the right direction. But this is what I want to say. I want to, you know, the rubber has to, I need to burn rubber on this. Okay, I need to lay the gauntlet down. And so I'm going to do it right now, because you laid the foundational statements that are factual. But here's the gauntlet as it hits the fallen angel in the face. And this gauntlet that I'm holding in the invisible realm is the kind of gauntlet that has these metallic nubs. So what do you call them? Studs? What would you call? Anyway, let's just...
Nubs is good. I like
nubs,
that.
But... studs. So in the invisible realm, I'm clenching a gauntlet of a warrior, because I decided, you know, being a spiritual prayer warrior, that's nice. But in a law-abiding, peaceful way, I like an emphasis on the word warrior. We are warriors. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are not called by God to be here for such a time as this, to be defeated, to be taken down, to be successfully bamboozled in an occultic MKUltra state of control. MKUltra is a satanic delivery mechanism for hijacking a person's soul, personality, and future. And this nation, and America specifically, many generations of young people and young adults, including I would include myself, you know, I'm not going to get into this because I've talked to about it before in your program. But when I was in, well, I won't go back to third grade and reading Brave New World. I've talked about it a lot. but I do want to just hit, you know, I majored in altered state of consciousness. Who in their right mind majors in altered states of consciousness? I picked this up the last time I was on your show. But really, what person with any degree of sanity would major in altered states of consciousness? You would have to be partially out of your mind. That to me, you can vote for me on that one. So I majored in altered states of consciousness. All my friends were becoming lawyers, getting law degrees, doctors, dentists. You know, they wanted to make money, businessmen, engineering, you name it, fields that appeared to be lucrative, fields that appeared to be safe, fields that appeared to be safe choices for future employment. Now, back when I majored in altered states of consciousness, again, nobody in their right mind would have picked altered states of consciousness under the umbrella of the psychology department as a tenable field. You'd have to be crazy. Okay, I already said that. So God has a sense of humor when he guides our life. So decades pass by, and it just turns out I find myself in an endless series of very strange, ironic situations that studying altered states of consciousness totally prepared me for, totally equipped me for, and totally educated me for. In other words, as it turns out in God's scheme of things, choosing altered states of consciousness as a field of study for a potential future career, I don't know where, Stanford Research Institute, which was secretly funding Ken Kesey, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and the Psychedelic Bus, and they were giving Grateful Dead LSD parties, you know, all across the nation. I mean, I might have been able to get a job with Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters, maybe, but they were working for the CIA. The Merry Pranksters were working for the CIA. Yep. The CIA was a front group of the CIA, unofficially, was the Grateful Dead. Ken Kesey was unofficially working for the CIA. Allen Ginsberg, the beat poet, was unofficially working for the CIA. You pointed out, and I'm glad you were able to clarify it, I had known that Dr. Timothy Leary, the Harvard LSD professor, was most likely CIA, and you said that there was now substantial evidence that has proven that fact. Yes. So this is not speculation. All of these people were employed directly or indirectly by the intelligence agencies to be instruments of MK Ultra on average American citizens or anyone they chose to. They went, millions of people in America, millions of young people, the whole 60s, 70s, part of the 80s counterculture type culture was an MK Ultra indoctrination. The Beatles, the music of the Beatles, the whole gig of the Beatles was an MK Ultra operation. And MK Ultra is a very sophisticated, as you know, as we talked about tonight, mind control program.
So, okay, if you hold that thought 1 second, because I'd like to just add one building block to that to bring it to today, to reinforce what I said earlier. As Paul McGuire, folks, paulmcguire.us, visit his website, get his books, all of them if he can. If he can't, just any one is fantastic. But think about what Paul McGuire just said, and there's ample evidence to show, you know, the Grateful Dead, some of the rock groups. Do you think, for example, the Beatles, okay, just take, for example, the Beatles, do you think they arrived in the States and just suddenly became really popular because they were just that great? No, they had help, and it was part of a larger operation in that counterculture realm that Paul McGuire talks about, as well as other very popular and quite frankly very culturally progressive at the time groups, and even people like Ed Sullivan. And think back at that time, okay, to that time, okay, you got the picture, right? Now think today. Did you ever wonder where all of a sudden you have social influencers that come out of nowhere on X or on whatever platform, and they've got like 100,000, 200, 500, a million followers? I never heard of that person, or a video or a channel that goes from zero to ultra popular while everyone else is kind of getting pushed down. Okay. Same thing happened in the 60s. It's happening today. Just different modes, different means of delivery. The same core ideology, same core principles, just a different way of doing it. Go ahead, sir.
I'm very glad you hit the bullseye on this, the target, the bullseye, because what you said is a perfect teaching concept. The same strategy that was employed in the 60s and 70s, where you artificially, where you synthetically created pop stars, rock stars, all kinds of celebrity figures like John Lennon, Charles Manson. It was yesterday, for some reason, I was watching, I wasn't looking it up. For some reason, a clip of Charles Manson came up on my Rumble channel.
And, gee, I wonder how that happened.
Yeah, right.
Damn, okay, go ahead.
And I had never seen, maybe you'd seen this before. I'd seen lots of footage on Charles Manson, okay? And usually he's tongue-in-cheek playing with the reporters and acting like he's crazy, but he's not crazy. In the segment that I saw with him, he spoke for about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and you would have thought he was a college professor of history or economics. His language was perfect. His vocabulary was at the very highest level. His analysis of trade treaties and tariffs and economics was spellbinding. And here I am looking at Charles Manson in a video feed, in an audio feed, where he is totally in his right mind, obviously has a genius-like IQ, and obviously knows more about economics, trade treaties, politics than most politicians and 90% of the population. I had never seen this footage before. So I'd already knew that the guy, I have always suspected he was a MK Ultra baby. He was and this just cemented the deal. It was clear that Charles Manson was MK Ultra all the way, and I think he left little hints all over the place to communicate to the masses. I'm not justifying what he did for a moment, but he was communicating to the masses on a mass level by leaving little symbols and hints, such as the swastika in the forehead of Charles Manson and his followers. I think that was his way of saying, you know, Nazi mind control scientists, MK Ultra. And many of the things, how did Manson program the young girls and the young boys to be his assassins, to be the girls were his prostitutes, you know, to make money and to, you know, to his agents. They infiltrated the Beach Boys mansion.
Oh, yeah.
Up there in Lookout Mountain, which was
Doris Day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So this was MK Ultra. The Beach Boys were influenced by MK Ultra, the Beatles, the Rolling Stone. And the interest in this, every Christian, every person who says they love the Lord or wants to be a Christian or is a conservative, has traditional moral values or whatever, you need to hear what I'm saying very clearly, own it, and then change your life accordingly. And this is what I want to say. As Doug was saying right from the very beginning tonight, we are in the middle of a massive PSYOP war. So the war for America, the war for the future, because make no mistake about it, what we're in is nothing less than an all-out war for the future of America, the future of the world. Your children, you, your children, and your grandchildren, however long there is some fabric of freedom in America, however long that time period lasts, your freedom is in the greatest danger it has ever been. This is not, you know, the manipulation of words. I'm telling you straight from the heart. We are in the greatest danger we have ever been. All of your freedoms are set to be erased. But the average person cannot see what is should be obvious to any thinking person, which is your freedoms are deliberately being attacked, assaulted, and eventually decapitated. They want to take down America as we know it. They want to destroy the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They want to eradicate Christianity. They're in the process of eradicating traditional moral values. They're in the process of eradicating sexual moral values of any kind. I mean, when you look at, and I looked at it through, I went to a Christian website, but the Christian website had the actual links that your young school children can go to. And I'm talking about hard quadruple X pornographic websites, pictures in anything you want to do under the sun. It's not only being shown to your child, it's being sold to your child. The sexual adventures, it's all being sold. It's all being programmed into the heart, mind, and brain of your child. And so you wake up as a parent one day and you can't figure out why. Nobody's a perfect parent, and no Christian is a perfect Christian parent. If that's your standard, forget about it. You're going to fail. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all imperfect parents. But I guess what? If you love the Lord to any degree whatsoever, I guarantee you, you couldn't help but exhibit that love towards your children. Now, all of a sudden, we have generation after generation of young people and young adults who seem to be in unexplainable, perpetual conflict, perpetual war with their children. And you're scratching your head and you can't figure out why. Why did it all turn south so fast? Why is my kid so angry? I mean, I taught my kid this. I taught my kid that. Why am I always battling with my kids that are now adults or whatever? What happened? And I'll tell you what happened. Doug, you touched on it. Your kids, young adults, adults, for the last 90 years, America has been subjected to an all-out psyop, psychological warfare invasion on every front, from electronic to chemical to biological, to the music industry, to the film industry, to electromagnetic frequencies, to revolutions in technological innovations such as cell phones and laptops. You know, when I started my career, Doug, being a PR man, I used to promote producers, independent producers who were very innovative, who knew their pictures were going to make money, but they wanted somebody to promote it in like a guerrilla marketing, they would call me. And I promoted Academy Award winning films, and I would send out press releases, and I'd have to run three or four blocks to find a payphone with a giant bag of quarters because there was no cell phones back then, and I'd have to keep dropping the damn quarters into the payphone while some person urinating on themselves was banging on the glass while I was on the phone with the head of NBC or ABC or CBS or the wire service or something, and I'm trying to pitch the fact my press release was entitled Indians United, which was an organization I created, Indians United, to offer Academy of what? Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, a peace pipe or tribal trouble. So the press release said this quite simply, Indians United to offer Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, a peace pipe or suffer tribal trouble. So what happened is I was going to roadblock the evening news nationally on a network level and a local level. Roadblocking, for those people who don't know, when you roadblock the evening news and the afternoon news for days, you essentially have created a story that is so red hot, that is so visually captivating, that it dominates all the news channels and the networks simultaneously. So no matter where you change channels to, you're going to see the story that I created, which is designed to promote a movie. In this case, it was Wind Walker. And so I roadblocked the evening news. Now, I first tried to just come up with a normal creative idea, but I was told man to man by the head of the National Wire Services. He goes, look, I don't have time to waste talking to you. This is a man-to-man talk with the head of a giant media organization. I don't have time to talk to you, he said. He said, I only have one question to you. Is there going to be violence? And I stuttered and hawed and said, well, I didn't know how to answer the question. I didn't want to say, yeah, I'd be guilty of promoting violence. So I tried to dodge the question. And he said to me, I didn't even get a chance to answer. He said to me, if there's not going to be violence at this demonstration with the Indians, then I'm not interested, and I'm not going to send it out to all the networks and the studios and the major media services. He basically said to me, if not exactly word for word, he said, grow the blank up. Grow some you-know-what, you know, the male part of the male organ. Grow some you-know-what. And I was schooled. Well, you know, if you're hired to promote a movie, then that's exactly what you're going to do. If I, you know, every movie is not Mary Poppins with Julie Andrews. I apologize. Actually, I don't apologize. So I roadblocked the evening news, and there was, I had the Indian chiefs come in from different parts of the nation. Each Indian chief represented a massive Indian reservation tribe. They were all the chiefs were dressed in full chief Indian outfits, 100% authentic Indian outfits. And then they had several peace pipes, big, long, authentic Indian peace pipes. And so this entourage consisting of me, the director of the feature film, and all these big, big Indians, I had to meet with over 1,000 Indians at LAX in some secretive room. I don't even know where it was, where Indians from tribes all over the America came. And so this, the leaders of all these tribes were there, and the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences decided to ignore us. So the Indian, the regular Indians began banging on the door windows really loudly. And so the people in the academy saw all the satellite news trucks with the satellites aimed into the air. They saw the network anchorman, anchorwomen all around the front of the academy building with the auditorium and everything. And there were the Indians. They opened the door, and the cameras are on, the lights are on, and the Indians are smoking the peace pipe, and the smoke is going up, and the media is loving it. They're having, sorry for the bluntness, but this is the way these people talk to me. You know, well, they had in effect.
It was the orgasmic.
Yes, yes, thank you. I didn't yes. want to say it twice. I would never live it down. Thank you very much. Thank you. I was sitting there sweating bullets. Okay, so I gave them a collective, you know what, from coast to coast, because the Indians were there, and Hollywood doesn't want to be caught dead, you know, dissing the Indians, for crying out loud.
No, you can't do that.
Yep. So we roadblocked the evening news. Then the thing builds. They want to stage riots on major reservations. I was not interested in that at all. And then the night of the Academy Awards, I won't get into all the details, but the whole place is packed with authentic Indians and the Indian chiefs and the peace pipe. And right during the Academy Awards, you know, when it's break time and stuff, and when they're not drooling over this movie star or this movie star actress, they are doing close-ups of the Indians, and the Indians are talking about their plight and talking about the movie. Okay, so the point is, I created a cultural event, which in a sense was an illusion, for the purpose of marketing. Now, what I had learned earlier in real life, by showing up at real events like demonstrations with Abby Hoffman, the radical activist, by hanging out in the East Village with LSD professor Timothy Leary, by hanging out with Ken Kesey in Central Park and discovering that Ken Kesey was just not a college wrestler and he just wasn't a famous author who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I found out by looking at him eyeball to eyeball as he's trying to play it cool, because I have a photographic memory. I'm able to recognize Ken Kesey in a crowd of 25,000 people in Central Park. Even though he's hiding, I know exactly where he is. And the person sitting next to him, his name is Paul Krasner, who's the editor of a hardcore elite Marxist cultural publication. And I'm saying to myself, why is Ken Kesey, the merry prankster, having a secret meeting in Manhattan, New York City, when he really lives in a remote place in Oregon? Why is he meeting with a communist, socialist, Marxist agitator, a high pro? Why? Because they're both working for the CIA, and Leary's working for the CIA. And then one event leads to another event, leads to another event. And I realize, as the cacophony, as the parade goes on decade after decade, that every single major news story, every single major event, cultural or otherwise, like I was in a news tent at the Pebble Beach golf tournament, and I'm ready to go on and to be interviewed live from Fox News on Cavuto's show. And right as I'm walking to go on Cavuto's show, Anna Nicole Smith commits suicide. And the imagery of, talk about MK Ultra, she's out of her mind on drugs, and she's painting her face day-glow and purple, and she's like whacked out of her mind on this combination of heavy-duty drugs. And the next thing I know, I'm answering questions. And don't ask me how. All I tried to do is argue, have some compassion on the girl, because these wannabe news media people were just like vampires sucking her blood, no pun intended. And then the whole room goes silent, and it's like a holy place. The whole room goes silent because Clint Eastwood, I knew he was going to be there, but Clint Eastwood walks in from the back of the tent, And the minute people see him, my interview was over. Fine, boom, poof, it's gone. But the point is, just about every event, Kirk's murder, any assassinations, suicide, all these things, these demonstrations which are financed by Alex Soros and apparently, allegedly, Iran is financing some of these demonstrations, you know, at key liberal cities. These are all PSYOP theatrical events. If you look on television carefully and you look at all these demonstrations of whatever radical group it happens to be, you know, and by the way, the whole PSYOP of hysteria over Donald Trump, it's a damn PSYOP. It's a manipulation of your mind. And the point that I'm trying to make is we have to be up to speed. We have to develop an acute awareness of when they're trying to play us and whether or not we're being played. And we need to, damn it, rise above it or we're going to lose this nation. Christians have a reputation. Unfortunately, it's well deserved for being sucker punched, programmed, mind controlled dupes. You've got to be able to develop your cognitive abilities to so instantaneously you should know whether or not you're being played. Like you were sharing your personal story, Doug, you should know when you're being played or not. Now, here's the question I want to ask. How is it that all the Christian seminaries, all the Christian pastors, there are notable exceptions. I got it. There are notable exceptions. So with that in place in parentheses, there are notable exceptions. But for the last 90 years, Christian seminaries, Christian churches, Christian ministries, famous Christian authors, famous Christian speakers, the whole Christian movement, the National Christian Religious Broadcasting Convention, all the best-selling Christian authors, all the potential influence that the Christian culture had and has largely squandered and continues to squander. All the time, this PSYOPs, communist-trained people, Marxist-trained people, because the professors of the Frankfurt Institute, which was Frankfurt School, which was closely allied to the institute you're talking about, they were, in fact, communist, Marxist-trained professors in what was called the Soviet Union. They were trained in psychological operations. The entire church growth movement has its origins. The entire church, it pretends to be concerned about African American civil rights, but in reality, it's nothing more than a psyops to destroy biblical Christianity under the camouflage of pretending to be concerned about African American civil rights. But it's really a psyops. So how is it that decade after decade, year after year, and with millions of Christians and Christian media, et cetera, there appears to be little or no awareness of what we're talking about, the mass usage of PSYOPs to control the American population and the ongoing mass usage of PSYOPs to take down America. Make no mistake about it. Their end game, in their own words, in their own websites like the UN or whatever, their own vocabulary, their own publications, in their own words, whether it's the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, whatever you want to call it, the end game is to totally take down America. Because America is however imperfect America may be, just like however imperfect Trump may be. Look, this should have been over and done with during the first term or the first terms of President Trump. This issue should be over and done with. For Christians to have to allow their minds to be caught in a diversionary strategy, for Christians to allow their minds to be captured through a very transparent psyops, which is designed to grab their attention span away from the real problem, which is there is a plot to destroy America as we know it, moving forward at full speed right now at this very second. And this has very overwhelmingly negative implications for our future and your children's future and your grandchildren's future.
And Paul, if I can add this, For a long time, I believed that the takeover, this new world order, would be this this capture in the this communist takeover. The end game was a communist new world order, and I realized it was. I was not thinking big enough. It's bigger than that because, as you, again, a lot, but most, if not all of this information comes from Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us, his books, his teachings, his writings. So a couple of things on this. Inside the U.S., now one can argue Western Europe and such, but inside the U.S. in particular, obviously we're fighting in a very intimate battle, for example. And you know, we're, the old style battles for one's mind would involve LSD and ketamine and other things. Okay. This altered state recruitment into a certain political ideology. Ultimately, this, this new world order or this communist platformed new world order. Okay. So you've got that. Now on the left, you've got the trauma informed activist collectives, use a very specific hijack or language, but use very specific, somatic therapy language. And that enforces, ideological conformity. It ensures ideological conformity, of the conforming to the absurd, like you see on the videos and social media. So you've got that side. Now, dissenters within that rank, oddly enough, dissenters who are, you know, gay, lesbian, kind of, they're the conservative of that group, but they're labeled, is dysregulated and they're shunned. Okay. Now really extremes on both sides weaponize therapeutic vocabularies, and all of these, the entire process can be traced back to the Tavistock and other related groups back in the, you know, 1921 and beyond. Education, of course, ground zero. And I found this very interesting, and I did not know, well, the right now, 23 states, and if you think about this, they've mandated social emotional learning, okay, curricula. And when you follow the framework of this, and you have to dig deep, and you know, again, this inch deep, mile wide stuff, no, you got to get in depth. The frameworks trace through absolute verified citations to Kurt Lewin, the alumnus of Tavistock. Okay, so now we conservatives decry indoctrinations. The leftist lunatics counter that emotional literacy, you know, the you've got to be very, you know, emotionally whatever to that, that's essential. Okay, but everyone is missing the deeper point. Whoever controls the effective curriculum, for example, controls the next generation's threat perception algorithms. And if you think about that statement, you'll know what I mean. But that goes back to everything that Paul was saying. But with respect to one more thing, and I didn't realize this, I was until I started researching this. In July of this year, Senator at the time Rubio and Warner introduced, and you can look this up, folks, Cognitive Security Act, the Cognitive Security Act. This was in July of this year. The bill actually funds DARPA-style red team labs that are tasked with stress testing narratives before they go viral. It's a whole big thing. But here's my greater point on this for the sake of time. Whereas I thought the New World Order would be, the goal was communism and subjugation. Now, it's bigger than that. It's the demonic it's far above communism is just the stepping stone to the demonic agenda of takeover, submission to a false small g god. That's what they're going after. That's why you saw this blood sacrifice of this national trauma at the university, Charlie Kirk. That's why you're seeing where's the indoctrination coming from? Where's it originating? At the universities, higher education, and now it's infiltrating into the high schools and, of course, elementary schools. These are the current battlegrounds. Bottom line here, they're hijacking future generations to subjugate their ideology, their belief, not to a Christian God, but to a demonic entity. And that, of course, is where we're at. That's what I have come up with in my research analysis. And with that, I yield back to you, sir.
Well, Doug, your analysis is right on again, because when you examine all the biological implications, the frequency implications, the scientific implications, economic, and on and on and on, but at a certain point, and it's not super spiritual to say what you said, it's biblical. And a biblical worldview is based on truth. A biblical worldview, by the way, despite what you hear in the Christian community, and what you hear in the Christian community is completely backwards, upside down, and not true. Christianity is not a religion. It has never been a religion. So to promote Christianity and speak of Christianity as if it was a religion is to self-degrade it from the scientific stature it should have. Christianity, the Bible, a biblical worldview, is birthed from science. Science proves the Bible's true. I mean, it's not, you know, you have to have faith, just a leap of faith. BS! It doesn't say that in the Bible. You're a moron. And being a moron, by the way, is not really acceptable to God. Being a moron is probably one of the priority first sins you should repent of. Because if God died to give you the mind of Christ, if God died to give you as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, not only the technology of God, the mind of Christ, the power of the Spirit and his word, all that are scientifically applicable, if God died to give you that, then why are you walking around like a moron? It's an insult to God. Okay, so here's again where the rubber meets the road. The way we win the conflict is we have to be, in terms of our identity, this whole world is ruled, and this is why PSYOPs can be very, very effective, not only to young people, but to young adults, really people of just about any age. PSYOPs always exploits the concept of the elite group that everybody wants to look like, dress like, be like, talk like, act like. They want their ideas to conform like the movie stars, the hotshots, the movers and shakers, the billionaires. You know, there's this elite group that everybody is willing to change or modify their behavior to look, act like, speak like them. And it borders on psychological suicide if you depart from whatever that declared norm is. Now, the people who are really the social engineers and the people that are ruling this electronic digital global dictatorship, they understand all of these techniques. But they also understand, as you just pointed out, Doug, they understand the bottom line, massive totality of truth, the most important totality of truth in the entire equation, which is simply this. When you analyze the various tiers and levels of control and compartmentalized knowledge and other things in the different groups that play different roles in history and in the present moment, when you've done that analysis, you're always going to fall short unless you add into your intended equation the fact that ultimately, when we're talking about bottom line foundational reality, ultimately, this reality is governed by spiritual laws and a spiritual dimension. Thus, evil is not just some antiquated Victorian belief system, evil is an actual personal force. There exists in real space-time reality, in real multidimensional reality, evil exists as a force and as a series of entities, such as Lucifer, the Shining One, or Satan, the father of lies, or the fallen angels, like the Enochian angels. And from the fallen angels, we have the demons and the principalities and powers and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places or spiritual places. All of this is evidence to the fact that as we look at the composition of the matrix, as we look at the composition and the structure and the architecture, or let's call it more simply, as we look at the structural components of what we call reality, real reality eventually slams in at like 150 miles an hour into a massive wall. And the wall it smashes into is the fact that when you pursue real reality, eventually you hit the home run truth, which is that all real reality is deeper than frequency or science. All real reality consists of this warfare between the Creator, capital C, the biblical God of the universe, the infinite personal living God of the universe, the biblical God, who is in an all-out war with Lucifer or Satan, the fallen angels, the principalities and powers, and the demons, and the hybrid Nephilim-Rephium entities. Now, a lot of people say, well, there's creatures from outer space. You know, that's a separate debate. I'm not here to comment on that, but I will say this. I think there's a high probability that these visitors from another dimension or outer space are probably, most likely, visitors not from necessarily another planet, but visitors from another dimension. As you know, quantum physics has began to teach the human race this in the 1800s with people like Max Planck. Quantum physics estimated that there were approximately 15 to 17 different dimensions. So that meant that the true scientific method is not just verified by what you can taste, see, or hear, your senses. The true scientific method can be affirmed by evidence that can be found or detected in any of these 15 to 17 different dimensions. Dimensions like space and time, the scalar dimension, the dimension of ether. How did Nikola Tesla, Thomas Edison, and others, how were they able to pull out of another dimension these highly advanced science fiction-like technologies and sciences that are operational now, but they're being hidden from the masses by the elite? Why is it that the elite, you see, the elite understand psyops at a far higher level than most Christians or conservatives do, because most Christians and conservatives haven't even gone to first base regarding a proper investigation of the nature, the multidimensional nature of psyops. Now, you and I, thankfully, you invited me to be a guest on your program many times over the years, and we literally sat that with the articles I wrote, the books I wrote, the shows that you were doing. We were like a sinner, along with your other guests, who some of whom are very heavy duty. I don't want to exclude some and name some. That would be an insult. But you have some excellent guests. One individual in mind, I would love to give out his name, but I don't want to be neglecting somebody else. So let's just leave that there. The thing is, the synergistic combination of all this heavy-duty truth that others were trying to marginalize as being conspiratorial or, you know, out there. BS. Our information turned out to be factually true. It turned out to be documented. It turned out to withstand the test of time. It turned out to be historically verified. In other words, we had all our points in a row. We had all our data confirmed. Everything that we proposed was true. It was based on factual evidence, and it could withstand the test of a full multidimensional scientific method. Now, if Christians want to win the spiritual war, that they're supposed to be winning and not supposed to be losing. It's not. If you think it's the will of God, let me just be very blunt to you. If you and your theology think it's the will of God for America to be turned into some massive digital concentration camp a la Adolf Hitler and a genetic hybrid between the Nazi master race and, I don't know, the Great Reset people and their mass delusion. If you think that it's the intention or will of God that his children, specifically his children, and those that are coming to him, do you think it's the will of God that his children are tortured, engulfed, swept away by this demonic, satanic madness, which is coming upon us like a beast, an unimaginable beast depicted in the book of Revelation? If you think for one moment, I'm going to be really honest with you. I've been a father. My spiritual growth in terms of my understanding of the love of God towards other people skyrocketed when I became a biological father to three children. And I spent a lot of time raising our children along with my wife, who we really got into it. And you learn so much about how God perceives you, because it's very similar to how you perceive your children. And you learn about how much God really loves you, not in the trite, stupid sense of the word, but in the majestic, awesome sense of the word love. You learn just how awesome the love of God is individually towards your children, because you see your children through the same eyes that Jesus Christ might see you in. And that produces a revelation, a deeper understanding of what it means to know, to really know, not just to have mental access, but to know the love of God. And one of the things you learn as you begin to perceive your children in a similar manner to how God might perceive us is the incredible patience of God, the incredible love of God, that consistently I would fight for the rights of my children. Consistently, I would lay my life down for my children. That consistently, I would do anything I could to make the lives of my children better. But at the same time, I would want to expose my children to certain rigors so they wouldn't turn out to be spoiled, you know, stupid brats. Now, that taught me massive amounts of information about the true nature of love. Okay, so anybody who's experienced that, even in a relative degree, you should know and you should own this truth. You shouldn't just flirt with it. You should marry this truth. You should own this truth. And what am I talking about? God is not some sadistic theological legalist drooling, waiting to have some kind of ejaculation. Forgive me for being so blunt, but look, for crying out loud, this is a side note, and I'm going to step on it, okay? It's a landmine, but I am going to step on it, Doug. And that is, for crying out loud, you can be two ways you can sin before God. You can be lewd, you can be lurid, you can be overly pornographic. All of that can be offensive. But it's equally and sometimes more offensive to God. It's a situation by situation perspective. It can be very difficult for God when God's people begin to exhibit a non-biblical prudery or a non-biblical legalism towards something that God, the Creator, capital C, created. So let me just say it as plain as I can. It was God. Yes, it was the biblical God of the Bible. It was the Creator, capital C, who created lock, stock, and barrel. No pun intended. It was God, the Creator, who created things like the orgasm. I know that's a heavy pill for some Christians to swallow, but, you know, I said this in my Bible prophecy class, which was always packed out, and you can figure out why. I said, why do you think God created the sex drive? Well, this should be normal discussion. I mean, the world is so far down the road, we look like some weird interdimensional replay of The Handmaid's Tale, some sicko thing. That's not what we are at all. You know, God created sexual expression. That means all the beautiful nuances in the physical, psychological, and spiritual relationship between a husband and wife. I don't need to be explicit.
And
people have an idea.
And there you go. It's between a husband and wife. Right. And obviously the intent is procreation. But beyond that, the point is, it's between a man and a woman, husband and wife, the biblical family, the nuclear family. And what are we getting from the other side, from the demonic, from the, and some say left. Okay. They're ideologically, politically driven left. You're getting the attacks on the nuclear family. They're normalizing abhorrent behavior. They're normalizing the homosexual stuff. They're normalizing cutting your the children's dicks off and breasts off. And they're insistent. And then, of course, you've got the people who are just taking delight in killing the unborn. Then they celebrate that. And then they celebrate murder. And they celebrate everything that God detests. This is the war that we're fighting. And you know what? You get offended by somebody saying, well, yeah, you can't say you cut in dick. But okay, whatever. You're getting angry at the wrong thing.
Right, exactly. You're being manipulated. So the PSYOP, and I think a lot of your listeners and viewers are up to speed on this, but let's be very honest. If we say we care about the children, and we should care about the children, that means rescuing them and anybody who's a victim of the sex trafficking industries, which are one of the most powerful financial industries in America and around the world. It's no sideshow. It's big, big business, the trafficking of children for sexual purposes, and worse than that. I mean, I'm exercising restraint, and worse than that. But the one of the PSYOPs is they're psychologically prepping children and young girls and young boys to accept pedophilia sex, or sex between adults and young children and even young babies. They're psychologically prepping. They're inflicting a PSYOPs on numerous generations where they intend to normalize adult child sexual interactions. And if you don't think that's going to traumatize you, you want to talk about the basic foundational ingredient in scientific mind control. It's a synonym for those words are trauma-based programming. You need a trauma, like sex between an adult and a child is always a traumatic experience, a psychological shockwave, an episode of chaos that creates a mind that can be programmed to do or believe anything. So if we're not willing to be intelligently and strategically stand against this in love, and it has to be done in love. By love, I don't mean wimpy, passive, weak, impotent activism. That's not what I mean by love. Love in action strikes a barren line, a barren land like thunder. Our love should strike the earth like thunder. Our love should strike the earth with such thunder that it breaks the shackles of slavery, of children that are being kidnapped and abducted and hidden in caverns and secret bases where defiles secret experiments on all kinds of stuff from the Nazi mind control doctors like Engela and others. The Nazi mind control doctors, a secret intelligence program, came from Nazi Germany, bringing the scientists here to be the heads of major psychological warfare institutions. We've never cleaned that up. So if you call yourself a Christian and you say you love God and you believe God is love, I'm telling you, you're full of it. You're full of it. And the only way you can change that is to admit to God that you're perpetuating the lie. Admit to God that your apathy, that your willingness to denounce your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who have been attempting to stand on the front lines of this great spiritual war in order to protect the children and to save the children. Your undermining of them, and undermining can be passive or aggressive. Undermining can be all the new, you know, brand new, I came from nowhere. I have no real bio, but now I'm a super celebrity in the world of alternative media. And I'm going to tell you all kinds of things, but I found out about it secretly by watching McGuire and Hagman decades ago. But I didn't tell you that. I acted like it was my own truth. And the truth is simply this. They have an agenda. And it's a global agenda. And at the very center point of the agenda, and you touched on it, Doug, it's to prepare people to worship the Antichrist, Satan, and Lucifer. When you go to the pinnacle of the pyramid of organizational structures, when you dig beyond the sex trafficking and all the secret societies, which are real, when you dig beyond all of that, what they're hiding in plain sight is that there is a significant number of people in America, especially people in high places in Europe also, that are openly worshiping Satan and Lucifer. They're openly communicating with the demons and fallen angels. Unless God's people sharpen up, repent of their apathy, and learn to be warriors, spiritual, strategic, loving warriors that know how to take down strongholds in the invisible realm. Stronghold is nothing more than a satanic psyops. We need to take down the psyops, and we need to develop our skills so that we can do it in a conversational manner. A psychologist, Milton Erickson, who learned how to program people, he developed a technique called conversational hypnosis. He could put somebody in a trance by talking about